Woe to the teachers of the law, the day of the saints is here. Woe to the
Welcome to God News Network, where the saints are rising, where we are here to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints.
Are you a saint? How do you find out? By listening to God News Network. Thank you once again for joining us. I am Saint Rick, coming to you here to spread the greatest news on the face of the planet. And the news is truth, not the fake news, not the untrue news, but the real, absolute truth of the real news. With me, I have my good friend from Saint Albert from South Carolina. Good morning.
Morning, Rick. Boy, this is going to be a good one here, Rick. Some people are not going to like it, though.
That's all right. We're used to that by now, and I'm excited to actually share the real news so that people can see what is really going on. You know, one of the biggest challenges that we have is, I'm going to bring this out a little bigger so our audience can see you and I. The biggest challenge that I see going on is the news and the story of the news. It's so blatant that the truth is not found in most of today's mainstream media, or what people would call mainstream media. And in the past, at least, it was perceived as truth. Now it's, everybody knows it's not true, or at least those with eyes to see know it's not true. But there's also a lot of people that believe that they have a truth, even though it's not the truth, it's their truth, and their truth is their truth. And you can have your truth, and your truth is your truth. And we can have our neighbor who has a different truth, and he has his truth, and everybody has their own truth, kind of thing. And where does this eventually lead if everyone has their own truth?
Well, Rick, it leads to unbelief. So when you do see the truth right in front of you, you actually don't see it, or you don't understand that it's the truth, you know? So that's what the devil is. The devil is a smart little cookie, you know. He uses things that are supposed to be meant for good. He uses it for bad, and he uses his influence as to what the world, how to shape the world around this system that he has, and people don't see it. People don't see it. You know, we're gonna look at personality and the old covenant that he didn't see the truth, and it was standing right in front of him. and it's not really partly his fault. It's that he was brought up in a system which had no truth or had partial truth, and he witnessed either another system which was saying that it was true, and it was a partial truth too. So it could be very confusing, and that, you know, that person, he was in the old covenant, but still the same position that that person was placed in is the position that about 80% or 90% of the people are placed in today. There is no difference in that position. And there, and the things that were going on at that time were not unique. Those things that were going on at that time are going on in this time. So it's strange, though, that we cannot see it, because, you know, it's just like what they always said, that history tends to repeat itself. It's true. And if you want to, we'll start with his personality so people could see what happened at that time. And his name was Pontius Pilate. And it's interesting the things that he had to say, and what was going on at that time and with the different personalities that were in that time, with the religious personalities and also the political personalities that were occurring in that time. And
we don't have any of those today, do we?
I wish we did, but Rick is exactly, we're still in that position.
Yeah, we have political personalities, we have religious personalities, we have different kinds of personalities. Before we jump into the Pontius Pilate thing, I've been fortunate enough to do consulting engagements and teaching engagements and things like that around the country. And one of the things I would do is I have this little story that kind of reveals how people can believe a lie. So, for example, here we go. It starts off, I come into the room and I say, hello, everyone. I have had something come up and it's very important that you help me out. Somebody's going to have to help me out because I ran into a situation and I'm in an emergency and I don't have it on me and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to solve this problem. Matter of fact, I have a brand new 2017 Mercedes parked out here and it's right in front of the building. And I'm in a situation where I need to sell it. I'll sell it right now for the first person who can give me $300. I don't care. I got to sell it. It's brand new, 2017 SLK, $300. And guess what would happen?
Everybody will raise their hand.
Absolutely. So they said, I'll give you $300. So I said, great. You were first, sir. Come on up. And he says, can you accept a check? I said, sure. So I take a check or whatever, and I get the $300. And then he says, well, what color is it? I said, hold on, I'll be right back. And I leave the room, and I go out, and I grab my matchbox of a Mercedes. And I set it down there. And, of course, everyone now thinks, oh, my gosh. But they believed a truth that they had in their mind, but they were lacking information. So is it fair to say that people typically hate to change their mind because they know, oh, I'm not changing my mind. I believe in exactly what I believe. So then they get new information. Mm-hmm. And once they have the new information, they make a new decision. If everyone had a crystal ball and could see the future and see that they are going to be spending eternity in hell because they don't accept the Son of Jesus Christ, or the Jesus Christ, Son of God, as their Lord and Savior, how many of them do you believe would make a new decision if they could see what it's really going to be like?
Probably all of them.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, the other thing is, I want to go there, is all these people who are refusing see them differently. If we see them through new eyes as little innocent children who are being abused by the enemy, that includes the politicians, the religious leaders, the unbelievers, the liars, fornicators, bank robbers, murderers. If we look at them as little innocent children who are being abused by spiritual entities, would we treat them differently?
Yeah, Rick, I think that we probably will. But unfortunately, you know, we live in our flesh too. And a lot of times our flesh gets in the way and we do the will of the flesh instead of the will of the spirit.
Sure. And even we as spiritual beings, you and I, have the tendency to allow the flesh to win these little battles. And these little flesh battles are flesh against flesh. And that includes us against politicians, us against religious people, us against all these people on the planet, not realizing the real enemy is the spiritual demons, the spiritual principalities, the spiritual powers of this world that are of darkness, the king of darkness, the prince of darkness, the prince of the air. That is the battle. And we tendency, we have a tendency as human beings to battle against the flesh, to battle against the person. The person is an innocent child that's being abused without them realizing it. How do we get that veil off so that they get new information and so that they can make new decisions? Let's go back now to the story of Pontius Pilate. What chapter are you wanting to go to here, brother?
That was John, the Gospel of John 18:38. And we could go, I think that we could read backwards, 1838, 1837, and 1836, Rick.
All right, let me go up here. We'll get ourselves set up. All right. There we go. We are now here in 1838. Pilate says unto him, who's him? Christ. What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and says unto them, I find in him no fault at all. So he's asking, what is truth?
Mm-hmm. And that's a very interesting question that he asked Christ, because This Pontius Pilate wasn't just an ordinary man. He was a person that was in charge of a lot. And when you are in charge of a lot, that means that you have been there in that system for a long time. And you have been doing a lot of things for that system. And so this guy Pontius Pilate wasn't a blind man that just came up, you know, like some other politicians that sometimes they are bought into their position or stuff like that. No, this guy probably struggled all the way. He was a military man and struggled through wars probably and struggled through politics and struggled through religion and all his life. I mean, this man was in charge of an area where nobody wanted to be in charge of that area because of the religious factors that were coming in that area and all that. So this man saw the falsehood of religion with the Jewish Pharisees and their falsehood of a morality, if you want to call it, and how they could bend that morality to whatever they shape they wanted it to be at. He also saw the politicians of the world and what the way that they ruled the people with corruption also. And he also saw between those two people, the colluding that was probably going on, just like today, the we have our politicians and we have all those lobbyists colluding with the politicians, and the outcome of those rules and laws and regulations that were coming out here with the result of killing a man that was innocent, and he knew it. Pontius Pilate knew it. But because of those old day lobbyists, which that's what they were doing, they were lobbying the government to kill an innocent man. And so this Pontius Pilate, he was a very, very intelligent and knew what was going on. He knew what was going on. And that same scenario is not just left at this old covenant time or you know, or in the past. This scenario continues playing out today, Rick. This scenario that continues to play out today. I don't know this. I don't know if you know this, but you know, one of the biggest lobbyists firms in Washington, D.C. is the religious lobbyists. And of course, we've seen in the past some of the laws and bylaws that they have put, not just in local counties, but in governmental places. You know, we remember the movie about outlawing dances in different areas, outlawing drinking in different areas, outlawing, for God's sake, even my favorite, which is a Coke float, was even outlawed at one time or another.
I think it was New York, yeah.
And And even apples were outlawed at one time because they could fermentate the apples. So they outlawed the apple tree and anybody who had an apple. And I mean, these are minor things, but there were major things also that were outlawed. And there was some laws. There are pretty nasty laws out there too that were put in place. Now, I'm not saying that all these laws are just based because of the religious lobbyists. I mean, there's also some pretty nasty laws that are put up there by other lobbyists. But today we're talking about religion and talking about the law and what is truth. So this man was looking, just to make things a little shorter now, this man was looking for truth probably, but he never did find the truth. And the world made it that the truth was standing right in front of him. And he even asked for the question, but he didn't wait for the answer. And many people in the Old Covenant have asked for this truth. Nicodemus, we know that he asked God for this truth too. And he waited there, but because of the, just like Pontius Pilate, because of the falsehoods of the world trying to tell you that they have life somehow, you cannot see the truth standing in front of there. The Spirit really has to intercede, and you really have to pay attention to what the Spirit is telling you, so you will understand this truth that's right in front of you. Regardless whether you're in church or whether you're outside and have never been to church or whether you're in politics, the Spirit, you have to pay attention to the Spirit. And it's hard because there's so many things in this world that are gaining for your attention. I mean, even the news media and the internet now, all those things are trying to take time from you. So you won't have time to search for the truth or to see the truth right in front of you. I don't know if this makes sense, what I've been trying to, what I've been saying, but.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. Now, here's one of the things that people get messed up in, one of the verses that truly gets totally taken wrong. Because how many people on the planet are guilty without Christ?
Everybody.
Everybody is guilty without Christ. Can you see here? I'm in John chapter 15 at this point.
Yeah.
He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. This was a horrible translation. Because if you think of purge, what do you think of?
Cutting off something, cutting off your hand or your limbs.
That's right. So that's where they get the word cutting off, like, let's just go here. It says, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges. What does that mean? Let's look it up. It is
Strong's G 2508. Kathairo. Kathairo.
He cleanses. From guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Is that amazing?
That's amazing.
He cleanses. So he isn't purging you. He's cleansing you. Mm-hmm. How does he cleanse you? Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. There it is. He says he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. And then the very next verse says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. How do we stay clean? Abide in me. And I am in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. So who's doing all the work?
It's Christ.
He's doing all of the work. Matter of fact, here's what's really amazing. When we go to...
So he's not cutting my hand off, right? What he's doing is just cleaning my hand.
That's right. That's right. That's right. You got it. So if we go back to Revelation chapter 6, these are the four horsemen. How in the world does this all play together? This is very confusing for me. How does this all play together? First of all, you have to be willing to say to yourself, I will seek the truth. That's all I'm asking. If you're out there listening, I'm asking that you say to yourself and to those around you that I want to know the truth. If you are so blocked that you don't want to know the truth, then you're not of God. You're not of Him. There is no truth in you. If you say, I just want to know the truth, and you earnestly want to know the truth, then that means you're open. You're open to learning the Spirit. Let's see what Revelation 6 is. He's got the seals here, and he's dealing with the seals. And he opens the first seal, and he has a white horse. He opens the second seal, and there was a red horse. And then he opens the third seal, and here's a black horse. And he says, he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And everybody says, what is that? Nobody knows what that is. And you get all these goofy things about it's good versus evil. And just people don't know and they don't read. So when you read it and you go back to the root words here in the Greek, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat upon him had a pair of balances in his hand. Let's look what this is. Zygos, or it's actually zugos, zugos. The balances are yoke. It's used of any burden or bondage as that of slavery, of troublesome laws imposed upon one, especially the Mosaic law.
You know, that reminds me of what we've been talking about too, about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That tree was balancing two fruits, weren't they? And one branch, it was balancing the fruit of good, and the other branch, it was balancing the fruit of evil.
So you have basically burdensome laws that are put upon and yoke as a slavery. So you're a slave. What is it that is making us a slave? It's the laws. So what is the think about it. Where there is no law, there's no offense. There's no sin. If there's no stop sign there and you run through that intersection, did you break a law? Absolutely not, right?
Yeah.
Once a stop sign goes in, a new law comes up, a stop sign goes in, then you run through that intersection, you've broken a law. If we can get tons of laws on the books, we can put controls on people. So when Adam ate of the knowledge of good and evil, the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he ate of what would make him a slave.
Yeah, and a burden, because, remember what Christ or God told Adam? He says, why is your conscience so low? I mean, there's very few happy slaves out there, Rick. I don't know of really too many happy slaves out there.
No. Slaves are... So then look at the story of Moses. Moses, his purpose was to set the slaves free. Moses was a predecessor to Christ. Every since Adam, God has spent all of his time, energy, and love getting the burden off of us. That's his whole purpose. It's for freedom's sake.
Yeah. You know, what's the name of the, those people that like to be whipped and all that? Masochists?
Yes,
it's masochists. We're masochists. You know, just like what you said, even when the Jewish people were ruled by God, the first thing that came out of the Jewish people's mouth is that we want an earthly king. So God obliged. He gave him an earthly king. And that earthly king was, well, you know, he was terrible.
Oh man. So
here we come with, like you said, with Moses, giving them freedom. And what did it say? No, we want law. Okay, we're going to give you law.
Matter of fact, our Lord lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son. And thy Son also may glorify you. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know the true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you gave me. And now, O Father, you give me thine own self with the glory which I had thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto men which thou gavest me out of the world, thine were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. And now they have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which you have gave me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come from you. And they have believed that thou did send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which you've given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours. And all yours are mine. I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be as one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that you gave me, I have kept. None of them is lost. None of them is lost. But the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So the son of perdition is the only one lost. And now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and thy world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is thy truth. And thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which that believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Believe That is what you're supposed to do. Believe in him. Believe in the one and only Father, because if you don't, you have no other option. But if you do, all is unto you. Therefore, believe and receive. If you believe in the name of Jesus Christ and you receive him as your Lord and Savior, you are now saved. Angels are singing, multitudes are singing, and you are now in the kingdom of God. St. Albert, thank you for joining us once again here on this wonderful opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And also, for you out there, thank you for joining us and constantly being with us and constantly supporting us and spreading the word. We honor him in everything we do. And remember, the saints are